Well, we finished our study on the characters of Elijah and Elisha. And next week, the plan is to get back into our study of Luke, which now I guess has been a multi-year study to get through the book of Luke, but we'll get back to that. Generally in the summer, we do something a little bit different, and this is the last Sunday in the summer. And so I was thinking about what we should do for today and just kind of praying about what would be appropriate for me to talk about. And so I determined that I would do something a little bit different and talk about an issue that is kind of on the front burner of our society, but for one, frankly, that I'd really rather not address. There's a lot of misinformation and controversy on this topic, so it's hard to know even where to start to address it. I don't think, frankly, that it's a big problem in our church. I don't know that anyone is particularly guilty of abuse in this area. The Bible, frankly, doesn't say a whole lot about it, at least not directly. I have not said much about it over the years. And I'm not suggesting that we need any radical changes in our behavior or in our ministry because of this topic. But it is a large and controversial issue in our world today. Parts of the country are experiencing incredible turmoil and upset because of it. The culture is deeply divided because of it. Large organizations have sprung up to address this issue. Political parties and candidates talk about this issue all the time. Even media people, athletes, professional people, actors, musicians, anybody who has any kind of a voice in our culture today seems to be talking about this issue. It's an important topic that the church really ought to address and understand what the Bible says about it. And that's really what's most important, is trying to get a good grasp of what the Bible says about this topic. What I'm talking about, of course, is the issue of race. Now, I'm not going to talk about racial reconciliation. I'm not going to be talking about social justice issues. I'm not going to be talking about critical race theory. If we understand and apply what the Bible says about race, then I think we've won at least half the battle. If people would simply follow the biblical guidelines, the biblical principles regarding this issue, I think the world would be a far more peaceful place. Let's, as we begin, talk about a couple of definitions to begin with. First of all, we ought to consider what we mean by the word race. And if we were to look at the term from a popular or common, a worldly point of view, we would think that race describes the natural biological differences between various people groups. The differences are fundamental between different people, and they are based on genetics. Things like skin color, hair color, the eye shape, and other physical markers, they would say, people would say, are rooted in basic biological differences. And so we often hear about people talking about the different races. You may fill out a form that says, what race are you? And there are usually a dozen or so, maybe half a dozen, different categories of race. And so the common idea is that there are lots of different races of humanity, and those differences are significant and primarily biological. Ethnicity is another word that we sometimes use, and ethnicity generally refers to language, culture, nationality, citizenship, and religion. Ethnicity has more to do with where you came from, your people group, and your personal ancestry. We sometimes use the word race and ethnicity synonymously, but they're really not exactly synonymous terms. We ought to be clear when we use the word race and we use the word ethnicity. Well, with those things in mind, let's consider then what the Bible teaches us about this important topic. First of all, race is not a biblical category. I looked through, I did a search in the Bible to find the term race. And the word is used a couple of times referring to like an athletic competition, but the word never refers in the Bible to differences between people groups. That's not a biblical word. It's not really a biblical category. That's because there really is only one race. It's the human race. We're all a part of it. If you are a person, if you're a human, you are part of the one and only human race. Now, several things in the Bible makes that clear. We can go to the Bible and see what is it that unifies us as one human race. Well, first of all, everyone is made in the image and likeness of God. We read that text from Genesis that says various times, various ways that God made man, both male and female, in his image. Genesis 9:6 says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. So we have value, we have dignity, we have worth because we're made in the image of God. The image of God is a set of features that God has and that humans share. Humans are like God in certain respects. For example, we have intellect, emotion, and will. We have a soul. We have spiritual capacities. We are not like all the other animals. We can be like God in the sense that we can know God and worship God. We can sin or we can do right. We have the capacity to join God in heaven or to suffer apart from God in hell. The intellect, emotion, and will, the spiritual capacities, these are true of God, they're true of man, but they're not true of animals. It's one of the things that distinguishes us or sets us apart from every other created thing is that we as humans share the image of God. And that image was there before the fall. Remember that God made man in his own image and it was all very good. So God gave man or made man with his image before the fall. And even after the fall, we still have the image of God. Now, as somebody said, the image of God has been effaced or marred, but has not been erased. So that means that everybody has that image. Even the worst of humans, even the most odd, even the most eccentric, the most different, the most diseased, and the most deformed still bear the image of God. The oldest, the youngest, the best, and the worst of all humans, they're still made in the image of God. And that's really what gives us dignity and value. It's not what you can do. It's not how good you look. It's not what you can contribute. Those are all good things or things that characterize us, but it's not what gives us value. We have value because God stamped his image on us. And that image remains with us throughout our lives from the womb to the tomb. Every human at every stage of development or decay bears the image of God. So since we have the image of God, every person has the same value. We all have that same stamp. We all are made in the image and likeness of God, and that gives everybody at least a basic human value. Beyond that, we can trace our biological descent back to Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us where we came from. The Bible says, in fact, Genesis 3:20 says that Eve is the mother of all living. So every living human being, every human being who's ever lived on the face of the planet traces his or her ancestry back to Adam and Eve. And beyond that, of course, there's another family that we all trace our ancestry back to, and that, of course, is Noah. We know that Noah got on the boat on the ark with his three sons and their family, and so everybody traces his lineage back to them as well. Now, Noah, we know, had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In Genesis 10, which is often called the Table of Nations, it gives a listing of all the different people groups that were existing back at the time that it was written, and all of these basically trace their roots back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So ethnic distinctions or differences among people really crop up after the flood of Noah. Everything goes back to these three sons of Noah. So really, we go back to Adam and Eve, we go back to Noah and his three sons, and then the New Testament even tells us that we are all of one blood, Acts 17:26. So there may be, and there are ethnic distinctions between people groups, but we're still of one blood. We're of one man, of one people. We're all still humans made in the image of God. So since this is true, there's no biblical reason for valuing one people group or one ethnicity or one group of people who look in a certain way or dress a certain way. There's no biblical reason for valuing one group of people over anybody else. The old children's song gets it right. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in God's sight. Nobody is superior and nobody is inferior. That's the proper biblical conclusion that all of us should share, is that everybody has the same value in the sight of God. Well, the culture today, of course, wants to make much of the differences between people. The claim is that humanity is divided up into many different races. In fact, I was listening to a certain speaker just yesterday who talked about the many different races of humanity. Well, I disagree with that. There are not many different races. There are many different ethnicities, but not many different races. There's only one race, only one people, only one humanity, and that is those who are made in the image of God. All of us are equally valuable in the sight of God because we share his image and likeness and we descend from Adam and Eve. So the Bible really emphasizes not distinctions or differences. The Bible emphasizes unity among all humans. We're all human. We all descend from Adam and Eve. We all descend from Noah and his family. This, the Bible clearly implies, every human is a member of one and the same race. Secondly, race is not a scientific category. So you might think, well, in our world today, because people recognize these differences, it must be based on science. Everything today is based on science. Everybody wants to say that they have science as the foundation of their beliefs. But there is no scientific basis for race. In fact, the person who did the first sequencing of the human genome, a fellow named Craig Venter, here's what he said, quote, "The concept of race has no genetic or scientific basis." No genetic or scientific basis for the concept of race. All the differences in the ethnicities are based on very small and almost insignificant changes or differences in the gene sequence. Now, if you know about DNA and genes and all those things, my understanding is, I'm not a scientist, I just know what I read from the scientists, I'm told that the differences between black skin and white skin, for example, is based on one base pair out of 20,000 base pairs on one gene. So it's not as if there are huge distinctions or differences among people that give them black skin or white skin or olive skin or yellow skin or whatever the different skin tones are. It's usually a very small genetic difference between very, very similar genes. Just one base pair out of 20,000 base pairs on one gene. So it's not a huge biological difference. It's very small. Genetically speaking, the differences between people are exceedingly small and the similarities are exceedingly large. So to say that someone of a different skin color is better or worse based on biology is really ridiculous. We are much more biologically similar than we are different. So where did we get that idea then that some races are better than others? Just because you're one skin color or one skin tone, just because you might have differences in the appearance of your eyes or your hair or the color of your eyes, where in the world did that idea come from that some people are better than others? Well, in the modern era, of course, that idea comes from Darwinian evolution. Darwin taught that some races are more developed than others and thus better than others. In fact, Adolf Hitler based his ideas of racial dominance on Darwinian evolution. Darwin divided humanity into various distinct races according to differences in skin, eye, or hair color. He was convinced that evolution was progressive and that the white color skin was evidence of a higher progress. So Europeans were evolutionarily more advanced than the black races, and thus there was a difference between races, and that established a racial hierarchy with European white people at the top and Aboriginal black people at the bottom. In fact, Darwin claimed in his book, The Descent of Man, he said, quote, "The civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world." So who are the civilized races? Well, the Europeans, the white people. Who are the savage races? Well, the Aboriginals, the blacks, the natives, from various places. Certainly, over the course of time, evolution will dictate that the strong will outcompete or do away with the weak. That's just the way evolution goes. So when we talk about different races, that's not a biblical idea. That's really not even a scientific idea. That is a Darwinian evolutionist idea. If evolution is true and only the fittest survive, then it would certainly make sense that the most powerful groups would oppress and dominate and enslave the weaker. And is there anything wrong with that under Darwinian evolution, under atheistic evolution? Is there anything wrong with anything that people do? No, we're just a bunch of animals, right? We are no better than cats or dogs or rats or beetles or whatever. We're just a bunch of stuff that randomly came up through the evolutionary process. So who's to say that one strong group dominating a weaker group is bad or wrong? It is, you know, what they say about evolution. Evolution is red in tooth and claw. So the lions dominate the gazelles. Why can't a powerful group of people dominate another a weak group of people? That's just the way evolution works. So Darwinists really have nothing to say about races, one dominating or oppressing another group, because that's what evolution does, is that the strong dominate the weak. Ironically, evolution also teaches that we're just a bunch of animals, and so if we are just a bunch of animals, all of us trying to claw our way to the top of the food pyramid, well then, we're all the same, right? Whether you're a cat or a dog or a rhinoceros or a giraffe, you know, we're just a bunch of animals, so there's no difference, essentially, whether one group of animals becomes dominant or another group of animals becomes oppressed. We're all just animals, so again, even under that view, there's no way of saying that one group is better than any other group. Well, in any case, there's no scientific basis. Even the scientists recognize this. No scientific basis for believing that race is a real category. If you look at the genetics, all people everywhere are virtually identical when it comes to those things that separate us are very, very small. We're almost identical when it comes to humanity. There's no basis for race in science. Thirdly, race is not a factor in one's unity with Christ. Now, we said that all people share the image of God. No matter who you are, no matter what your beliefs, no matter what your spiritual state, we all are made in the image of God. But sharing the image of God does not make everyone a child of God. Somebody might say, well, I'm made in the image of God. I guess I'm right with God then. No, you can be in the image of God and not be in a right relationship with God. You may not be a child of God. Christians have something else that brings us into greater unity, and that is that Christians are all bonded or all united in their bond with Jesus Christ. We are all in Christ, as the New Testament describes it. Believers know the Lord, they are in Christ, and that's the primary bond that unites all Christians together. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So all Christians have the same experience. We all have come to know the Lord through faith. We've all heard the gospel message. The Holy Spirit has convicted us of our sin. We've accepted Christ as our Savior and turned from our sins, and we have been put into the body of Christ. We know the Lord as our Savior, and so that's what makes us in Christ. And so if you've had that experience, you are united with every other believer in Christ. If you've not had that experience, then you're not a Christian. You have the image of God, but you do not have unity with Christ. You're not a child of God. Heaven is not your home. God is not your Father if you've not been saved through faith in Christ. The New Testament clearly states that those who have this unity in Christ, ethnic differences or differences among people really don't matter. Here's what Galatians 3:28 says. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what our ethnicities are. It doesn't matter what our ancestry is. It doesn't matter where we came from or what we look like. Our relationship to Christ is not based on any of those things. Our relationship to Christ is based on whether we know him, whether we've repented of our sin and put our faith in Christ. A similar verse is Colossians 3:11. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So as somebody said years ago, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Everybody is level when they come to God. There's no distinction in ethnicity or people groups or color when it comes to knowing the Lord. You either know him or you don't. You're either in Christ or you're not. Spiritually speaking, it doesn't matter where you came from or what you look like. All Christians are equally saved. We're all equally forgiven. We are all new creations in Christ. Unity in Christ, then, is more important than any physical or ethnic distinctions. Unity in Christ is more significant than eye color or hair color or skin color, eye shape, any of the things that people use to distinguish themselves as a race. Unity in Christ is more important than any of those things. Ethnic distinctions certainly are real. They certainly pertain to us, but ethnicity has no spiritual value within the Christian faith. Believers of all ethnicities are united in Christ. What matters is our relationship with God through Christ, not our skin color or ethnicity. So for Christians, how do we identify ourselves primarily, spiritually speaking? We ought to identify ourselves as in Christ, as part of the body of Christ, as those who know the Lord, not primarily as what color we are, what our ethnicity is, where we came from, who our ancestors are. We are united with Christ, no matter what other things might be different among us. Fourthly, race is not a factor in the church. At least it should not be a factor in the church. Is there a place where we can enjoy spiritual unity in spite of physical differences, where red and yellow and black and white people are all of the same value? Well, yes, the place where believers are on the same footing is the local church. The unity that we have in Christ should be on bold display when we gather together to worship God in the church. So what is the basis for unity in the church? Well, we've already talked about the fact that all believers are in Christ. They're in the body of Christ. But beyond that, we know that all Christians are baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit." So we all have that experience or that condition of being saved, and that means that we've been baptized by the Spirit of God into his body. There's also no distinction in the church between Jew and Gentile. Now, at the time of Christ, at the time of the New Testament writing, the differences between Jews and Gentiles was huge. And the idea that the Jews and the Gentiles would be one people within the church was a radical idea. But that's what the New Testament teaches very clearly. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "Christ is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of separation, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." So the one new man from the two is the one body of Christ. All Christian humans are part of that one body. Out of the two, the Jews and the Gentiles. So it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. Like he said, it doesn't matter if you're slave or free, whether you're highly educated or less educated, whether you come from one tradition or another, it has no bearing in the church. We're all Christians. We all have spiritual unity in the church. And the Bible also commands us not to think of others from a worldly perspective anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, "From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." So that doesn't mean that we don't necessarily see ethnic distinctions. We sometimes talk about being colorblind to other people. It doesn't matter to us if a person is black or Hispanic or Asian. We may say that, and we might treat everybody similarly. We treat everybody the same because everybody's of the same value. And so when it comes to skin color, hair color, eye texture, or eye shape, these physical markers do not divide Christians. We don't regard people one way or the other because such physical features or ethnic markers really have no spiritual value. We are not united because of them, and we're not divided because of them. Our unity is based on Christ, not based on common physical features. So what brings us into unity in the church is that all believers are part of the universal body of Christ, and we're all the believers are meeting together in a local assembly. That what we're united around is what the gospel stands for and what we're trying to do as the church. We're trying to engage ourselves in worship, instruction, fellowship, evangelism, and service. And so these are the things that unite believers in church together. It's not that we look alike. It's not that we came from the same place. It's not that our, you know, the last names are similar, that we all came from a certain place in the old country. What unites us are spiritual things, not physical things. Now, some churches will naturally reflect an ethnic flavor. Maybe not around here. Here in northern Wisconsin, there's not a whole lot of ethnic diversity. But if we were living in Madison or Milwaukee or some large cosmopolitan city, well, then you'd have a lot of different ethnicities, a lot of different people. And oftentimes what happens is people of different ethnicities or different interests gather together to worship God in a culturally specific way. Oftentimes, even in a city that has a lot of different ethnicities, one ethnicity or one color of people or one group of people, they'll meet together in church because they have sort of a common set of traditions. So it's not unusual, even in a place like Milwaukee or Madison or Chicago, you'll have black churches, primarily black churches, you'll have primarily white churches, you'll have maybe churches that are primarily Korean or Slovakian or whatever, because people who have common interests tend to get together to worship in a culturally sensitive way. And there's no problem with that. There's nothing that says we have to integrate church or we have to force people to go to a place that they're not comfortable. We allow people the freedom to meet with other people that they interact with in a positive way. So there's nothing that says that we can't recognize ethnic differences and allow people to worship with other people that they're, you know, comfortable with. And then finally, race will make no difference in the coming kingdom or in eternity. The Bible promises the people of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation will be part of God's coming kingdom. Revelation 5:9 says, speaking of Christ, "You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation." So that means people from all around the world. People of all skin colors, all ethnicities, all eye shapes, all hair colors, all the different kinds of people from all around the world will be part of God's kingdom and in eternity as well. Revelation 14:6, "I saw another angel having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." So the kingdom of God is a multi-ethnic thing. There will be people of all different traditions, all different looks. There'll be representatives of virtually every kind of person you can think of. People from around the world will be there and will all be on equal footing. And we know that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And so at the resurrection, the physical body will be reconstituted. It will be a perfect and glorified body, but it will still have many of the same characteristics of our body today. So if you died as, or if you lived and died as a white person, in the resurrection, in the glorified body, you'll still be a white person. Same with black people, Hispanics, Asians, whatever the differences are, how you lived and died, that will be the kind of body in a very similar sense that you'll have in the resurrection. And I believe those physical distinctions will remain throughout eternity. And when we get into eternity, everybody's going to get along. Okay. Everybody will be fine with one another. There's not going to be any sin or problems or quarreling in eternity. Everybody's going to get along just fine. Well, you might say that's eternity. That's in the future. That's in heaven. But today it's harder. And that's true. It is harder. But we still ought to be striving to get along with other people, of other kinds of people, as much as we can in spite of our differences. Well, if all of what I've said so far is true, then we must not treat people differently based on characteristics like skin color, hair texture, or eye shape. As someone famously said, we judge people on the content of their character, not on the basis of the color of their skin. We must understand ourselves biblically. What does the Bible say about who we are and what our value is? The authority of the Scripture has to tell us who we are and why we have value. We're all made in the image of God, and we are on equal status, equal worth before God. So we should disavow the common worldly Darwinist point of view on race. Race simply has no basis in the Bible or in science. There's no good reason to believe that any people group is better than any other people group. We judge people on the basis of the character and their behavior, not on their appearance or their ancestry. We're all part of the same, in fact, the one and only human race. Now, some distinctions are normal. We know that people congregate together in different ways. Some people feel more comfortable with people like them. Some people enjoy having a wide diversity, and that's fine. We should expect people either to congregate with people like themselves, or if they want to congregate with people not like themselves, that's fine. If a church attracts one group of people where people seem to fit more naturally, that's okay. We don't try to force people to go where they don't fit in or where they're uncomfortable. And we should also realize that eventually all Christians will be together in heaven for all eternity, and we will get along just fine. And so if that will happen in the kingdom of God and in eternity, we ought to be working toward that goal in the church right now. Well, let's close in prayer.